And so what he was really doing is offering up an excuse. And the truth of the matter is, we know that because the one that invited him got mad when they didn't come. So it was an excuse. So the first one said he had some land. The second one said he had some livestock. And he said basically the same thing. I bought this livestock. I've got to go prove it. Well, the truth of the matter is, he done bought it. And the truth of the matter is, he probably wouldn't be using it at dark. I know it had horns, but it didn't have lights. Everybody listening? And so he said, I'm not coming. And then the second one said, one had land, one had a livestock, the next one had a lady.
Yeah.
And he said, I just can't come. So the first one, I put the land, it represents wealth. I'm not coming because I've got some wealth I've got to look at. Now believe it or not, there's a lot of people ain't right with God because of their wealth. Preacher, I can't come to church because I've got to make a living.
I've heard this
over and over. Well, preacher, you know I've heard this. Well, my Sunday's my only day to rest. I have to work all the time, amen. And Sunday's my only. So people use excuses for their wealth. And then the next one had work. He said livestock. To me, that represents work. I can't come, preacher, because I've got work to do. And I'm telling you, folks, these are excuses that people make on why they're not right with God. Amen. How many times have you and I invited people to the house of God and talked to people about the Lord, but they always got an excuse? It's their money. It's their work. Amen. Then the next one said, I ain't coming because I got a wedding. Now, we might laugh at that, but the truth of the matter is, I'm telling you, in 27 years of pastoring, here's what I found. A lot of men got right with God, but their wife wouldn't.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think we're living in a generation. It used to be many years ago, from my understanding, that women would get right with God and their husbands wouldn't get right. But I'm going to tell you, in my ministry over 26 years, and 27 years, my ministry, I've had more men get right with God and their wife wouldn't than I have had the other way. Amen and amen. And so he said, I've got a wedding, I've got a lady, I've got some livestock, I've got some land. But notice what the Lord said in verse number 21. He said, go out quickly to the streets and in the lanes and what? And bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.
Yeah.
In other words, he first told him to go to the city. Then in verse number 23, he said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He told them, don't only just go to the city, go to the country. And he said, get these, number one, get these that are poor. Wealth that will not affect them on getting right with God. Then number two, he said, not only get the poor, but get the halt. That's those that are lame. They can't work. And then number three, he said, get the blind. They can't even see a woman. Is everybody listening? Now here's my point. Excuses are all the way through the Bible. People have excuses on why they're not right with God. Could I say to you, in modern psychology today, the philosophy of Sigmund Freud is prevalent. And I did read that and study that a little bit. He has basically boiled it all down, what his teaching is, or his philosophy is. Man's problem is basically because he's been victimized. In other words, Sigmund Freud, and believe me, buddy, that is very prevalent in our society today. His philosophy is that you're what you are because somebody caused you to be that way.
Yeah.
In other words, don't take the blame for the way you are, blame it on somebody else.
Yeah.
And buddy, I'm telling you, we live in a society today that everybody's blaming their problems on everybody else. Yeah, me. Overbearing parents. The reason you're like you are, ma'am, is because you had overbearing parents. The reason you're like you are, you had an unreasonable employer. The reason you're like you are is your church kind of warped your mind while you was growing up. You better believe that's prevalent. At least it's prevalent where I live. And everybody wants to blame their problems on everybody else. And his philosophy says what you need to be is you need to be freed from your victimizing. Your problem is you've been victimized and we got to get you freed from those that victimize you. But that ain't what God says. God says your problem is you. Your problem is me. Amen. And he says our problem is not somebody else. Our problem is a sin problem. And we have to deal with our sin. I found this to be true. You're not necessarily a product of your environment. What are you trying to say? Well, Adam had a perfect environment. Adam was put in a perfect environment, and Adam messed up in a perfect... I hear this all the time down where I live. Well, you know, they grew up in the project. Hello, y'all help me now. And the reason they're like they are is they grew up in that project. Well, the truth of the matter is Adam had a perfect environment. He messed up. Historically, we can look back and say it's not your environment that causes you to be like you are. Could I say to you tonight, and I've said it this week, I grew up in a drunkard's home. Is everybody listening?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm glad, thank God, God has gone enough to help us overcome what we grew up in. I'm glad God has enough power to free you from your past. Amen. Yeah, man. I don't care if you grew up in a bootlegger's home. God's grace is enough to get you out of it. Hallelujah. Hey, not only is that true historically, that's true prophetically. What? Well, the Bible says that God's going to set up a 1,000-year reign on this earth, and God's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, the Bible said the devil's going to be loosed for a short season, and in that perfect environment of 1,000 years, there's going to be a crowd that had a rebellious heart that's going to rise up when the devil comes. What? Their environment didn't help them get right. So my point I'm trying to make is that, hey, you're not a product of the environment. You're not what you are because you've been victimized. We're what we are because we haven't dealt with the sin in our lives. Amen, amen. Jesus came to make us free from our sin. I'm glad, thank God, He's able to do that. If we'll quit offering up excuses and say, oh God, I'm the problem. It's not them. It's not her. It's not the job. It's not the church. It's me, oh God, that needs help. Amen. No doubt there are some earnest excuses seemingly. They think they seemingly have some earnest excuses. And I want to give you about 7 of them I've heard. Very simple. You've heard them too. And many more. We could name probably 700. But we ain't got time. Nor the energy. I want to mention about 7 quick things that I've had told to me, and you can add to the list. Number one, here's what somebody told me. They said, preacher, I'm not right with God until I'm too great a sinner. In other words, I have done so much wrong that God could never help me. Now, I'll tell you, down through 27 years, I've had people tell me. I remember one time a woman called me on the phone, and she began to tell me about her problems, and I began to tell her, ma'am, there's a bomb in Gilead. God can take care of your problems. And buddy, she said, oh, but you don't know what I've done preaching. And I'm telling you, I am not the Pope. I don't need you to confess to me, amen. There's things I'd rather not hear. And before I could get a lady stopped, she began to tell me some things. And I'll tell you, would turn your stomach. And when she got through, I said, ma'am, as bad as that is, there's still a God that can forgive you. I want to say to you tonight, by the good authority of God, you have not done too much that God can't save you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how long you've been there. There's a God in heaven that can forgive you and cleanse you if you'll come to God and say, God, nobody else is the problem. I'm the problem. God can take care of you tonight. Amen. I've met some wicked people, haven't you? But I ain't never met somebody so wicked God can't save them. Amen and amen. Matter of fact, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for sinners. Hey, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. I said that last night. If he can get the chief, he can get the rest of us. Dear God, if he can get the chief, he can get all the Indians. Amen. Hey, the Bible said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I'm glad God's looking for sinners. I'll be honest with you. Jesus is looking for sinners. I can't find none. I can't find a sinner. You knock on the door, they answer the door, they got a Budweiser in their hand, they got dirty writing on the t-shirt, they shacked up with somebody. Sir, I'd like to invite you to church, tell you about the Lord. Oh, I'm right with God. It's hard to find a sinner. You will never get right with God till you become a sinner. God has never saved a righteous person. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. I'm glad, well, December 7th, 1972, at a quarter after nine on a Thursday night, I got qualified. I became a sinner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, God is looking for sinners. You're not too bad, you don't need to be saved. You're not too good, you don't need to be saved. Amen and amen. Hey, never answer the question, oh, you're not that bad a sinner. Matter of fact, the worse you are, the more qualified you are. Amen. I ain't finding too many saying, oh, I'm that wicked.
Right.
Most people I talk to say, well, I know I've done a little bit wrong, but I haven't been all that bad. Hello. That's what I'm finding. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll never get right with God. You say, but God, I'm the problem. It's not my upbringing, it's not my parents, it's not the church, it's not my job. I'm the problem, God. And so number one, you got to come to this grip. Hey, I'm not too bad. I'm not so great a sinner that God can't save me. Isn't that good news? I'm glad. I'm glad I can go across the country a little bit and tell people it doesn't matter what you've done, God can save you. I was a preacher down in Mississippi last summer, this summer going by. I was a preacher in Mississippi, and I hit a whole list of sins. I mean, I tried to get all of them. And a lady come running down the aisle and got down the altar, and she said, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. She said, everything you name, I'm doing. And my wife dealt with her. The pastor's wife dealt with her. But she couldn't turn. She was shacked up with a boy. She was living with a man. And while my wife and them was dealing with her, they could tell she was holding on to something. And so they dealt with about that. She even told. She said, I'm living with a man, and I know I need to get right with God. But she said, she just wouldn't turn loose. Well, what she didn't know is that man was in the service. He had got in there late. And she was sitting up a little bit, and he was sitting in the back. And she didn't know the man she was shacked up with was in the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, when we said amen, they had the man back there in the prayer room. He was getting saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? I'm just simply trying to tell you tonight, just get qualified.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, I'm a great sinner. I'll tell you, God will pick up business in your soul.
Yes,
hey, number two. Preacher, I would get saved or get right, but I must become better before I can be a Christian. Yeah, man, you heard that? Bible said all of our righteousness is a filthy rags.
Yeah.
I remember when I was got saved, my buddies I was running with, and the things we was doing, we won't go into all that, amen? But I remember after I got saved, all they could see was the outward. And they saw I had quit that. And so some of these fellas I was running with, and by the way, one of them now got saved, he's a Baptist preacher. And one of them got saved, and he's a deacon. But when I first got saved, all they could see was what happened outward. I wasn't drinking no more, cussing no more, going to the nightclubs no more, and smoking dope no more. So they started quitting those things. And they were trying to get themselves right with God by putting off these bad habits. In other words, they were trying to get clean so they could come to God. But you don't need to do that. Hey, you don't need to get clean to come to God. You need to come to God and let Him clean you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The Bible says you're right. The best you got is filthy rags. What can we have to offer to God when the very best we've got is no more than filthy rags?
Right.
Amen, amen. So I'm simply saying, you don't have to get better to come to Christ. Just get, hey, what you really got to do is get better. I like what the songwriter said. The songwriter said, just as I am, I come.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad for the invitations in the Bible. First invitation in the Bible is over there, and God told Noah, come down all thy house into the ark.
Right.
Amen. God invited the family. God will save a whole family if you'll come.
That's right.
Has there been a family coming to church meeting this week? I've been praying. Oh, God, I've been praying for that family to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really pray God just save one. I was praying God save the whole family.
Yeah.
God will save a whole family. That's throughout the Bible. There is a household salvation in the Bible. I tell you, Noah's whole family got in.
Yeah.
God said, no, you and your house, come into the ark. He didn't tell them to go into the ark.
Right. Right.
He said, come in the ark.
Yeah.
If you come to my house and knock on the door, and I'm outside, I'll tell you to go in. Tell you, amen.
Yeah.
But if you come to my house and I'm in the house, I'll say, come in.
Right.
I tell you what God told Noah. He said, he didn't tell him to go in the ark. He said, come in the ark. That meant he was in the ark.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he is the ark.
Yeah.
God invites families to come. Amen. God invites nations. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come down all thy house. Come down, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is to a nation. You know, America tonight could get right with God. All we have to do is come. Amen. Then God says, come. God says, come to an individual. Over in the book of Revelation, he said what? The Bible said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him the hair say, come. And let him that is thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God said, a family can come, a nation can come, an individual can come. He said, you know who wants you to come tonight? The Comforter wants you to come. The Bible said, the Spirit said, come. The Bible said, the church wants you to come. The Spirit said, come. The Bride said, come. God wants, hey, I'm going to tell you tonight, you have a church that wants you to come.
Amen.
Matter of fact, we're praying you'll come.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm preaching so you'll come.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, not only that, but the individual Christian wants you to come. The Bible said, and let him the Harris say come. You know, I think one of the great marks of being saved, you want somebody else to come.
Amen.
There's a lot of things just automatically happen when you get saved.
Yeah.
You don't have to be taught. You don't have to be trained. I remember when the night I got saved, I went back home. I had a babysitter sitting with my oldest daughter, Marcy. And I walked in the house about 1 o'clock in the morning. And Ms. Laura Bird was keeping my baby for us to go to the meeting that night. And I walked in and I told Ms. Laura Bird, I said, Ms. Bird, guess what just happened to me? I hadn't been to a soul winning program. I just said, guess what just happened to me? She said, Alfred, well, what happened to you? I said, I just got saved.
Yeah.
Hadn't been in no school, hadn't been in no clinic. It just come out on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you get saved, I'm telling you, I'm like the old black preacher. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you get saved, you want to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Now, you may not always tell it like you want to tell it, and you may not even sometimes tell it like you ought to tell it, but you will want to tell it.
Yeah.
I just got to tell it, amen.
Yeah.
God said, you want to tell it so bad, I'm going to give you a pulpit and let you tell it. And I've been trying to tell it for 35 years. I ain't never told it like I want to tell it. But I just like to keep coming back and trying to tell it one more time. Hallelujah. I say, come, come. God will forgive you and cleanse you if you just. Amen. Thank God. Preacher, I'd like to get saved, but I got to get cleaned up a little bit. Lord, just come let him clean you up.
That's good.
Number 3. Preacher, I would get saved and get right with God, but I'm afraid I shall fail and can't hold out. Amen. I just don't think I can live the Christian life, preacher. Well, can I tell you, you trust in yourself. Amen. You're right. You can't live it. Amen. Hey, being saved is a faith adventure. Amen. It's stepping out on the promises of God. I'm reminded of the man who was walking the tightrope across that deep waterfall. And the crowd was out there to cheer him on. And they pulled a tightrope across that waterfall. And the fall was sudden death. And he got out there on that tightrope. And he walked that tightrope. And the crowd was yelling, you can make it, you can make it. And he walked all the way to the other side. And the crowd went wild. They said, yeah, you did it, you did it. He said, how many of y'all think I can make it back? They said, you can do it. You can do it. He said, let me hold that wheelbarrow right there. He put the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. He said, now I walked across it that way. How many of y'all think I can push this wheelbarrow across? They said, oh, you can do it, brother. We believe you can do it. He said, sir, you shouting a lot. You think I can do it? He said, I believe you can. He said, get in the wheelbarrow. You know, a lot of people believe Jesus can, but they ain't never got in the wheelbarrow. Amen. Hey, faith is not you doing it. Faith is trusting him that he can get you across. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, that night I stepped out to get saved just like you did. I was a fear in my heart. Lord, I can't live it. Lord, I'm afraid I'll fail. He said, hey, just trust me.
Amen.
That's what you need to do tonight. You just need to come trust him. Don't trust yourself. I'm telling you, you can't live it. Hey, it's not you living. The Bible said it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could do it on our own, we'd probably get to heaven and boast. I grant you, knowing how we are, if we could get there by what we do, we'd brag about it. Ain't gonna be no bragging in heaven. The only bragging in heaven is gonna be on him, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, being saved is not only changed life, it's an exchange life.
Yeah, I like that.
Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, you gotta, he took your sins. Amen.
Yeah.
But he gave you his righteousness.
That's good.
So when you get saved, it ain't just changing your life, it's getting exchange life.
Yeah.
Hey, he took our sin, but he gives us his righteousness. That's why Reformation won't save you.
Right.
Reformation is you quit, but you gotta have his righteousness.
Yeah.
You got to have imputed righteousness.
Yeah.
Reminded of the young preacher that got up and preached the first time in the church. The pastor was proud of him. He'd done good in school. He got up to preach in the service that night. And he said, tonight I'm preaching on that imputed righteousness.
Imputed.
The pastor bowed his head and said, oh God, he done messed up in the beginning. The pastor thought about it a little bit. And he said, hallelujah, that's what it is. It's been imputed. I'm glad God imputed some righteousness in me. It's not my righteousness, not your righteousness, but it's the righteousness of the Son of God. Hey, when we got saved, he took our sin, but gave us his righteousness.
Amen.
I ain't going to heaven on what I am. I'm going to heaven on what he did. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Thank God, ain't you glad you ain't going on what you are? Most of us have sinned since we've been saved enough to go to hell.
Amen.
Yeah, salvation is not turning over a leaf. Salvation is getting a new life.
Yeah.
Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of ways you can kill yourself. Shoot yourself, hang yourself, take an overdose. But I'll tell you one thing you can't do. You can't crucify yourself.
Right.
Take somebody else to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Hey, three nails, crucifixion. Somebody else got to crucify you.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I am crucified with Christ.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? I'm simply trying to say to you tonight, hey, I'm telling you, you can't hold out.
No.
You can't live it. I'm glad when I got pardoned, he gave me power.
Yes.
I didn't know tonight I walked down the aisle I was going to, that the Holy Ghost was going to take up residence in my life and give me the power I need to live the Christian life. It ain't us doing it, church.
Right, right.
You know that. This is elementary to y'all. But it might be somebody here tonight that ain't elementary.
Right.
Salvation is not what you can do for God. Salvation is what God can do for you.
Amen.
Religion is what you can do for God. Salvation is what God can do for you.
Right.
Many people have religion. They're trying to do something for God. And God's sitting back and saying, why don't you quit and let me do something for you? Amen. Hey, I just simply say this. With your conversion comes confidence. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen
and amen. Let me answer your question. You're right. You can't live it. Amen. Won't you come to him and let him live it through you? Number four. Preacher, I'd get right with God, but I'd have to give up too much. Well, I've heard that one. Preacher, I tell you, I'd get right with God, but I just got to give up too much. You know what I found? I give up. I give up hell and God heaven.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That was my thought before I got saved. I really did. That was my thinking. Man, I can't quit what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I just say this for the sake of maybe somebody here. Now, I don't know. Is this a big crowd tonight? I don't know who's here. I can remember riding down dirt roads, drinking liquor, trying to think, man, I know I need to change. And I can remember getting intoxicated thinking about it. I got to quit living this way. And I was trying to drink it off. And the more I drink it, the more it would be on my mind. Even drinking, I was like, man, I got to quit living like this. I remember riding down the road with my best buddy one day. It was the Eddystone River Bridge. We was crossing the Eddystone River Bridge. And both of us was intoxicated. And I looked over at him and I said, James, I'm going to quit living like this. He said, what? I said, I'm going to quit living like this.
Yes, yes.
And he said, man, you need another drink. I said, James, I'm telling you, I'm going to quit living like this. And he said, man, I ain't. That's what he told me. He said, I'm enjoying it. And I was too. I'm like the preacher. I was enjoying it. But I knew I had to quit living like that. I knew I was headed to hell. And you know, not long after that, a month or two, I got saved. And you know, about 6 months later, he got saved. What are you trying to say? I'm simply trying to say to you tonight, hey, give up too much. Man, I'm telling you, I give up hell and God heaven.
Yeah,
all right. Man, I give up dope and God hope.
Yeah.
Thank God. Give up liquor and got the Lord. Give up the pool room and I'm living in the palace. Hallelujah. Hey, listen here. I give up my pride and got peace. I tell you what, God, I preached it and said it tonight. I done preached my message before I ever got here. Hey, I got a whole lot more than what I had.
Amen.
I tell you what, you get saved, you've got to give you more than what you got.
Yes.
Give up religion and got regeneration.
Yes.
Thank God. Man, I ain't here tonight because I got to be. I'm here tonight because I want to be. I come to hear you preach. Amen. I'd rather hear you come preach, but I'm telling you, I'm glad what I'm doing tonight. I'm happy in what I'm doing tonight. What you trying to say, preacher? I'm just trying to say to you tonight, hey, give up that excuse. You'll have to give up too much. God will give you a whole lot more than what you got. Amen. So I'm simply saying, what the Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. Amen. Preacher, I get saved, but I have no feeling. Man, I've heard that one. What you want to feel? Preacher, I like to have a feeling. Well, salvation and feelings in faith.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I do believe there's a feeling.
Right.
The Bible said, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. You ought to be sorry for your sin. The feeling you ought to have, I am sorry for my sin.
Yeah, right.
So many people base their salvation on their feelings. Somebody put it this way, emotion without devotion is a bunch of commotion. I like what the preacher said this week. Hey, thank God for emotions. I'm for them. In my church, I try to pump them up, prime them, get them high. But I'm telling you, it's not any emotion. If your emotion don't cause you to be devoted, it's a bunch of commotion. And nobody likes shouting and praising God and going to church more than I do, I don't think. But I'm telling you what, it's not in our emotion. Amen. Is everybody listening?
Amen.
Preacher, I'd like to have a feeling. Amen. Well, salvation settled on the fact and secured by faith. Feelings are after salvation.
Right.
And then they vary.
Right.
My point I'm trying to make is don't wait for chills and thrills and ills. Just take the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the truth of the matter is, 5 o'clock this morning, I didn't feel too saved. Matter of fact, 5 o'clock this morning, my wife's been sick. I felt lost. She'd been up all night, and I'd been up pretty much watching over. About 5 o'clock this morning, I didn't feel real saved. But I was just as saved. I feel pretty saved right now.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you this morning, my emotions wasn't running too high, but I was just as saved at 5 o'clock this morning as I am right now. Hey, that did not change my salvation one iota. I'm telling you, salvation is not an emotion. What you need to do tonight is see yourself as lost without God and just count on the fact that you're lost and Jesus will save you.
Amen.
It's not emotion.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Y'all help the church.
Yes,
I'm simply saying, hey, I remember when I was growing up in high school. I don't know if y'all know about this. Maybe y'all do. Every year they used to have a game called donkey basketball. And they'd pull a big old long tractor trailer up, had a big old trailer, stop that thing, drop that gate, and a bunch of donkeys would run off. And then we'd take them 10 donkeys and go in the basketball gym and put 5 on this end and 5 on this end. Hello, Tokyo. Is everybody listening?
Yeah.
And the job of this, getting one on this end, was to get the gold on that end, and the job of them on that end was to get the ball on that end. And everybody listening. But there was a fellow who brought them donkeys that had a stick about that long, and in the end of it was electricity. Hello. Is everybody listening? And them donkeys evidently had felt something before, because every time that man was headed your way, the donkey you was on, and that donkey saw him coming with that long stick, you was going for a ride, friend. You hear me? Because they done felt something, amen. So come on down here tonight. We'll let you feel something. Amen. We'll knock you in the head. Whatever you want to feel, we'll let you feel it. Amen. I remember old Harold Ackerman in my town. He was a shade tree mechanic. He did mechanic work. He hung a chain from a tree in his backyard. And everybody would take the car over there. Old Harold Ackerman. Well, the church got him one night and took him down to the Pentecostal church. And they got him in the meeting. And they went back there where he was and grabbed him and drug him up here to the altar. This is a true story. They've got old Howard up to the altar. And they said, Howard, you need to get the Holy Ghost tonight. He said, oh, Lord, I don't know. And they all gathered around him where he couldn't hardly breathe, amen. And they prayed, God, put it in him. God, and they shook him by the head, amen. Say, you need to get it, Howard. And they said, Howard, you got it? And he came up and said, I ain't got it yet. They said, put it back. Howard, get him, give him the Holy Ghost. Give him the Holy Ghost. Howard, you got it yet? I ain't got it yet. They put it back down for the third time. Oh, how would come up and say, I ain't got it yet, but if y'all let me go home, I'll come back tomorrow night and get it. You know what you're looking for? You're looking for a feeling. All you need to have is faith. God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I believe Jesus loved me and died for me. And if you will come on that fact and believe it tonight, God will. And then emotions will kick in. Because I just don't know whether I'm saved. I didn't have a feeling. Is everybody listening? Amen. Preacher, I would get right with God, but I'm not that bad a person. Well, let me tell you what you got to do, ma'am. You got to give up your goodness. Amen. The Bible said, for whosoever should keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all.
Yep.
I was visiting one night, and I got home, man and his wife. And I asked them both if they're saved. The lady said, oh, yes, I'm saved. And I said, oh, you're saved. You know you're saved. She said, yeah, I know I'm saved. I said, how do you know you're saved? She said, I keep the commandments. I said, you keep the Ten Commandments? She said, yeah. I said, name them. She said, what? I said, name them. She said, name them? I said, yeah, name the commandments. You keep them, name them. She said, well, let's see now.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Shall not take the name of God in vain. She named off about maybe four or five. I said, ma'am, there's about four or five more.
Yeah.
She said, well, I can't recollect them. I said, ma'am, the Bible said if you broke one, you broke them all. I said, you can't even name them. How are you going to keep them?
Yeah.
Could I ask you this tonight? If you had a chain with 10 links in it, how many links would have to be bad for the chain to be bad? All 10 wouldn't have to be bad. Just one link would make the chain bad. God said, if you break one, you broke them all. The law was not given to save you. The law was given to show you you can't live it. The law was our schoolmaster to get us to Christ. The law was given us to show we're sinners and we're incapable of living. But only one man, and his name is Jesus. He kept the law. Amen. And because I've trusted him, I have been made complete because he kept it. It's not you keeping the law to get to heaven. You can't do it. I can't do it. But thank God he did. And he nailed it to the cross. Amen. Preacher, I'd get saved, but I'm really not that bad. Well, I think I said this last night or one night, how bad is bad? Adam and Eve just took a piece of fruit.
Yep.
I think I said, preached that one night.
Yep.
They wasn't committing adultery.
Right.
We got that taken care of the other night, didn't we?
Right.
Wasn't nobody run around with.
Right. Right.
How bad you got to be lost? They took one piece of fruit.
Yep.
Oh, come on, preacher. Well, read your Bible.
Yep.
Amen.
One piece of fruit, one act of disobedience plunged us all into hell. Amen. So if you ever took a baby, Ruth, you lost. You ever had a bad thought, you lost. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is you lost tonight. Amen and amen. Last point. Preacher, I would get saved, but I'm not ready yet. Well, the Bible said today is the day and now is the time. The Bible said, come now, let us reason together. The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart. No, it don't say that. It said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his heart. It don't say he being often reproved and hardeneth his heart. It said, he being often reproved hardeneth his heart. Every time the gospel goes out and deals with your heart and you don't respond, you automatically get hardened.
Listen.
He that being often reproved hardeneth his heart. Are you listening?
Listen.
Every time you hear it, walk away, the next time it's going to be harder. And God deals with your heart. I tell you, God has done everything in his power to get you saved. The Bible said he sent you to Scripture. Every time the Scriptures is preached and God deals with your heart and you resist, you get harder. God has sent you his servants. God has sent you one of the greatest preaching men there is. And I'm not preaching that. I've said that everywhere behind his back, in front of his face. God has sent you one of the preachingest men, one of the preachingest white men I know of. And every time you hear that man of God preaching, God deals with your heart and you put it off, you just get harder. He sent you the Scriptures. He sent you a servant. He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the Spirit. And every time God deals with you by the power of the Holy Ghost and you put it off, and young people, y'all better listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, every time God deals with you and you put it off, you just get hard. That's why the Bible said, remember thy creed in the days of thy youth. You know what? I know this is just looking at it normally and you can't do it, but it looks like to me, the older a person gets, here's a man 80 years old, he can't dance no more, and he ain't looking for no women, I don't reckon. Hello. Ain't no women looking for him, that's for sure. Hello, y'all. It looks like the older you get, you're fixing to meet God. You're fixing. It looks like you get right with God. But that ain't the way it is. The longer you live without God, the harder you get. That's why the Bible says you better remember the Creator in the days of your youth. God sends the Holy Ghost. I just last year buried a boy. Family come to our church. He was raised up in church. He wasn't raised up in my church, but he was raised up in a good independent Baptist church. He used to grow up in the church testifying and giving his testimony. He grew on up, got away from God, got out in the world, was living with a woman. One morning they went in there to wake him up. He was 20 years old. They went in there to wake him up and they shook him and said, "Do it." And when they put the hand on him, he was cold as ice, stiff. And they took him to the hospital and checked him out and run an autopsy. And they said his heart had just stopped in the middle of the night. 20 years old, I preached this funeral. You think just because you're young, God, you can't miss death.
Right.
Last year, I preached this funeral.
Yeah.
Me and my wife was talking on the way to church tonight. Last year, in our church, within a year, I buried five men. Him, number 20, from 20 years old to 80 years old. And every one of them sat in our church and heard me preach, and many of them responded that they was lost. Some of them even went to the altar and prayed a prayer, but didn't get no help. And I buried five of them in our little country church within a year. Are you listening?
Listen.
I had one man come to my church. His wife was coming to our church. Faithful member, got saved 9 years ago. He started coming to church, and he was coming to church every Sunday morning. He'd go to our church one Sunday morning. He'd go to another church another Sunday morning. And he was alternate, and he was faithful to do that. And he would raise his hand. He was lost. And I said, I talked to him at the door. I said, "Mr. A.J., you raised your hand. You need to come forward." "I know, preacher, I know." And he just kept coming. He never would respond, never would respond. And one day his wife called me on a Saturday morning. She said, "Oh, preacher, pray, pray. We're rushing A.J. to the hospital right now. He come in from work, from the grocery store, and to eat lunch." And she said, all of a sudden, he said, "My head, my head." And he never regained consciousness. And an aneurysm busted in his brain. Last year, five men. Are you listening? You think you promised? God keeps sending the servants. God keeps sending the scriptures. God keeps sending the Holy Ghost. Bible said you better heed it. Bible said every time God gives you a warning light, you better heed it.
Yes.
You know, I think about lights. I think about a red light, yellow light, green light. A yellow light is the caution. You know what? God sends people yellow lights and instead of caution and they speed up. They try to make it through. Is everybody listening? What are you trying to say? I'm sitting trying to say to you tonight, hey, why do you keep putting it off? This revival has come. This revival has done come and gone. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's probably people that sat in this service this whole week. I don't know who you are. And you've sat and you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it. And the preacher said last night, the week's going to pass by and we're down to about the last 10 minutes and you're going to put it off and die with it. We're bearing a man Sunday, 20-something years old. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, preacher, I'm just going to put it off. You better come while God's dealing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Are you listening? I'm simply trying to say to you tonight, what's going to be your excuse when you stand before God? Preacher, I would come, but I'm going to put it off till a little bit later. Well, today is the day and now is the time. So I pray you come tonight. We have prayed that you'd come, whoever you are. Let's stand. Let's pray.